Just going to take a quick break from the show, everybody, to tell you a little bit more about one of my favorite things in the world, Audible. Audible lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one app. You'll always find the best of what you love, or there's new stuff to discover all the time in Audible. Incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre, from bestsellers to new releases to celebrity memoirs, mysteries, and thrillers, motivation, wellness, business. They got it all here in Audible, and you can have it all too. Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, including Small Town Murder, Crime and Sports, and Your Stupid Opinions, with highly anticipated new releases and next listen recommendations to habituate every type of thriller listener. And you can keep your heart rate up month after month with this pulse-pounding collection you can't hear anywhere else. The true crime stuff they have is amazing. Right now, what I'm listening to is The Family by Ed Sanders, and it is a full, complete retrospective on the Manson family, kind of all of what they were doing to set their weird stuff up. It is amazing and incredibly detailed. Great stuff, and there's so much more on there. And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog, including bestsellers, new releases, latest stuff. You got it. It's all there. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/smalltownmurder or text smalltownmurder to 500-500. That's audible.com/smalltownmurder or text smalltownmurder to 500-500.
Now back to the show.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hello, and welcome to Small Town Murder Express.
Yay, and choo-choo.
Oh, yay indeed, Jimmy. Yay indeed. My name is James Petragallo. I'm here with my co-host.
I'm Jimmy Wissman.
Thank you, folks, so much for joining us all aboard the murder train. We are pulling away from the station here on the Small Town Murder Express. Crazy, again, episode for you this week. Last week, we had an episode in Canada, so today we're giving you the most American episode humanly possible. That's what we're going to do. This is
Stabbed with a hot dog on the 4th of July.
This is as America as you get right here, buddy. Right. Let me tell you, there's a Trans Am involved. It's so American. So American, you don't even know. So before we get to that, very quickly, I want to thank everybody for all they do for us. Head over to shutupandgivememurder.com right now. Yeah. First of all, merchandise there, anything you could possibly want, from bath mats to coffee cups, we got it on there. In addition to that, you get your tickets to live shows.
Yes, sir.
We are excited. October the 27th, virtual live show. Yes. Oh, we cannot wait. We're coming to you. How's that? Mm-hmm. We're out on live shows, but here we're going to come to your living room exactly like a live show. Set it up all exactly the same way, except instead of being in a theater with you, you're in your living room. Mm-hmm. You're getting as drunk as you want. Do that. So October the 27th, it's available for 7 days after that. The Halloween Spectacular. It'll be good and creepy. We may or may not be wearing costumes. Do that, like we said, a week afterwards. That is shutupandgivememurder.com or go to moment.co/smalltownmurder. Either place, you can get the tickets there. And also head out to, coming up quickly here, Tampa. Mm-hmm. September the 23rd, two shows at the Tampa Improv that night, and there'll be different shows, so feel free to come to both. The next night, September 24th, we are in Orlando at the Orlando Improv, doing the same thing, two shows that night, so come out and see us. We're very excited to do that. Shut up and give me murder.com. quickly. Patreon this week is so good. Oh, my goodness. Patreon.com/crimeandsports is where you get all the bonus stuff. Anybody $5 or above, you're going to get access to everything we put out bonus-wise. Yeah. There's like 100-something back episodes. You can binge on that.
Yeah.
And you're going to get new episodes, two of them, every other week. One Crime and Sports and one Small Town Murder, and you're going to get it all. So this week for Crime and Sports, we're going to continue and close it out with Sex Scandals Part 3. Finish the Duke list and get on to a couple other very weird ones, some strange poetry and some very strange stuff. And then for Small Town Murder, we're going to do something really cool. We're going to talk about where's the Venn diagram crossover happen between certain guys in the mafia and serial killers.
Yeah.
Because we found if you read a lot about the mafia, you go, that's some of these people are just serial killers who happen to fall into the right business to where this is, positive for them. You know what I mean? This is like good for business. Yeah. It's very strange. We're going to talk about that. Some very gross stuff. That is patreon.com/crimeandsports is where you get that. So that said, let's get to it, Jimmy.
All right.
A lot of show here. I think it's time to sit back, clear the lungs wherever you are, hopefully in a semi-private place at least, maybe not somewhere too public, maybe not public transportation, that sort of thing. But sit back, clear the lungs, everybody, and shout, Shut up
and give me murder.
Let's go on a trip.
We shall get on with it.
Let's do it. We are going all the way to Arkansas.
Oh
yeah, Arkansas. Last time we were there was the Bad Company episode.
Yeah, if we remember correctly.
We're going to Ashdown, Arkansas.
Ashdown.
Exactly what it is. Ashdown, Arkansas. And this place is in the severe southwestern corner of Arkansas. Okay. Its own little kind of little squared off panhandle here.
What's over there?
Not much. It's right near the Oklahoma-Texas borders. Both of them are right there. Is it that far west? Oh, yeah. This is Texarkana right here. This is what this is. It is the middle of this particular area is kind of the middle of nowhere. Uh-huh. It's the Ashdown is kind of the nearest town that you can talk about, but this actually happened in Crossroads, and there are several towns in Arkansas named Crossroads, so that couldn't be it. Then there's one called Winthrop, which is right near there, but that is also, there's like 80 people there, so there's like no information on it.
There's nothing,
So Ashdown's like, 2 miles this way, but it's that's what we're going to talk about here. Population of Ashdown, 4,359, so a few more people here.
That's where the people live.
Median income, $27,906 is the household income here. That's household. So 53% of the people here make $30,000 a year or less. That's tough. Well, the median home cost here is only $80,100. So that's
how you do it.
That helps a little bit, I guess. Little bit of history here. This is funny. This is basically a town made on spite, which is pretty fun. I love when there's a whole town that's just to spite somebody else. So there's a small farming community at first. Ashdown was initially known as Turkey Flats. Turkey, very attractive Turkey Flats. Yeah. And later it became Keller, and then it was renamed by a judge named Judge Lawrence Alexander Byrne. He made it Ashdown after, I guess, the Keller Mill had burned down to ashes, so he called it Ashdown.
Holy shit.
Because I guess they were some sort of rivalry there, so he was making fun of him. So...
Dark.
Byrne vowed to rebuild and found a town named Ashdown. So he said, I'm going to rebuild the town myself and call it Ashdown because your shit burned down. It's very weird. So the railroad came in 1895, and that made everything, a little more popping. After World War II, they came in and this more kind of industry came in. Before that, it was just freight going on the, river and shit like that. But here, instead, they had the two rivers brought manufacturing plants. There was a Coca-Cola bottling plant here and a box factory.
Okay, because Coca-Cola needs boxes.
And an ice plant to keep it cool.
Yeah, because Coca-Cola needs ice.
A pallet plant.
Oh, what about the cops?
You ever wonder where pallets come from?
Like people just see them everywhere and you go, who the hell makes these things? They seem seem to be free. You can just find them laying everywhere. That no one where there's a place here where they're pumping them out going, man, someday this is going to be in an alley leaned up against a dumpster. Just someday that's where it's going to end up.
One day some crafty bitch is going to make a pottery thing out of this.
And a coffee table. Out of this. It's going to be awesome. Not for like 30 years, but...
Right. Some crafty fuck's going to hang their plants on the wall with it.
No shit. Reviews of this town, there seems to be kind of one or the other. We'll give you 4 stars here. Everyone knows everyone. They all go above and beyond to help anyone in need. This is all exclamation points, by the way. You can find something to eat, whether you want a normal chain branches, Sonic, Burger King, McDonald's, or Subway, but they also have some food of their own, exclamation point. Medrano's and Jerry's are locally owned businesses, exclamation point. So that seems all friendly. And then somebody else has a different take on it. They give it 1 star and it's, quote, the police will follow you if you are black is what this one is. They follow me behind me on the road for a long time and they follow my wife. I walk in Burger King and an officer stares me down. I don't want to be here long. I heard black people come up missing in this town.
Oh, my God.
So the very different views is what I'm getting at. That's night and day. I don't know where the truth lies. It could be both. I don't know.
I was going to say Jerry and the Medranos robbed my family, but this is way worse.
That's a lot worse. Yeah, I'm not sure. Never been there, but wow. That doesn't sound good. Things to do here quickly. The Hoot Fest, which takes place at Dee's Barn and Venue. Is what it's called.
And venue.
It's a barn, but you can also use it. The Moss Brothers Band will be there.
I've heard of a bar and grill. I've never heard of a
barn and grill.
Barn and venue.
It's a barn and grill. It's a different thing. The Moss Brothers Band will be there. They're billed as one of Texarkana's longest-running event bands.
That's not positive.
That's not great.
That doesn't mean anything.
It means they've never gotten out of here. That's not good.
I know a lot of guys that have been doing comedy a long time that you've never heard of.
Exactly. That's what they're the Moss Brothers, probably. Yeah. Then there's the Whistle Stop Festival. And I just have to read, there is going to be apparently some sort of pageant. And it says each participant must conduct themselves in a proper manner and portray high moral standards. And you also have to, every contestant must sell a minimum of 250 raffle tickets.
Or else fuck your morals. We don't care.
The parent guardian's responsibility to ensure the pageant attire fits properly and is appropriate. It says if anything's damaged or ripped, it's on you. Any clothing mishaps,
wardrobe malfunctions.
Yeah. That's on you. Then they have a dress code. Infant, baby, tiny, little miss, /... short party dress or pageant dress. And then it goes on to tell what the appropriate things are. Then it says no verbal or physical abuse will be tolerated and no profanity. At a baby pageant? I would hope not. Jesus Christ.
That means it's happened.
Oh, that means it happened a lot. So that said, we know the type of spirit around here where people fight at a baby pageant. Let's talk about a murder, shall we?
All right.
We set that up right. Now, we need to go back in time to 1980 for this bad boy. Okay. Yeah. January 11th, 1980. We have, let's talk about a young man first. Okay. Uh-huh. He's 17 years old.
Yeah.
Just a young man taken in.
Oh, he grew up in the 70s. It's just barely the 80s. So to him, it's still the 70s.
Oh, it's the 70s. The 70s, by the way, decades bleed into each other. Yeah. Things don't automatically change on New Year. So if you look at anything, watch TV shows from year to year, the 70s lasted till about 84. Yeah. 83 was like the last year of the 70s, and the 80s lasted to like 92-ish also.
Yeah.
You know,
and the 90s lasted post 9/11. Like 9/11 was when we, because if you look at the footage of that shit, people dressed like assholes.
Yeah, but they...
People dressed stupid, and hairstyles were stupid, because it was still the 90s.
It was still the 90s. Yeah, you're right. That's true. They bleed everything from then on. Everything from 9/11 on, it looks exactly the same. It just does. Everything looks the same. Yeah. The jeans that are just a little bit tighter and a little bit looser. Yeah. You can tell what era it is by
that day
how
changed
close.
A lot.
Yeah. You can tell what era it is by how much a chick had to shave to wear jeans. That's it. That's all it is. Oh, they're down there. That means it's 2005. Okay. So anyway, January 11th, 1980. So it just turned 1980 here.
Brand new.
We have a 17-year-old kid just loving Texarkana.
Thriving.
Here. Yeah. His name is Herschel Glenn Murray. Now, Murray is without an A. M-U-R-R-Y.
I've never seen that in my life.
It's so strange. And I checked.
And it makes sense.
Three different court documents. That's how it's spelled. So it's got to be right. Unless Arkansas is terrible with every. They're not good at spelling. I'm not sure.
Or that's just the way it's supposed to be.
Maybe. He goes by Glenn, though, because it's easier than Herschel. And in Texarkana, just Glenn is a better. Yo, Glenn. You know, sounds more than Herschel. Herschel sounds more like, what the hell kind of name is Herschel? I feel like you're going to get a couple of those there. So now Murray's 17. He lives, it's just him and his mom living in a trailer here in Crossroads, which is outside of Ashdown, which is in the middle of fucking nowhere, essentially.
80 people live there.
80 people. And it's close to the, close to the Oklahoma border. More toward the border here, okay? Very near the Oklahoma state line, as a matter of fact. His mom's name is Nedra, N-E-D-R-A, Nedra Sharp, and she's been married twice before. She's twice married and divorced and is now single, just her and her teenage son living in a single wide and, you know, near the Oklahoma border. Doing what a dream. It's a dream, really. It's a dream. This is how fairy tales start.
Yeah.
Really is.
Something.
Once upon a time in a beautiful trailer on a dusty plane.
The situation's certainly making somebody cry.
But you gotta hope maybe there's a happy ending, you know what I mean? Maybe this will all come about. But everybody, they're doing fine for themselves, though. They're not they're not shit bucket type people like we talked about before. They're not like, they're not like that at all. They're both workers.
Bills are paid. Things are happening.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's just kind of where they're from. So she works as a licensed practical nurse in a nursing home in Ashdown.
So OPN.
That's what she does. Yeah. So, I mean, she's, working. That's a hard job. It's hard work.
And she's doing better than a lot of people.
She's got a steady job.
In that profession, the next step up, I think, is RN?
I have no idea, but listeners will tell us because we have quite a few people in this field.
I'm looking forward to the inboxes.
They're going
to
definitely tell us all about it, but we're not sure. Either way, good for her.
LPN's
doing
a good
something.
Job. Yeah.
And he, on the other hand, Glenn, he had finished the 11th grade in high school. And just kind of went, well, that's about good for me, I think, right?
Done.
Yeah, that's about all I needed to cover. I looked over my senior, what are we be doing next year? And I said, I don't need any of that. I'm good. So
it's all just fuck off classes senior year. Who cares?
I'm not doing that. Skip days and such. No thanks. So, but he drops out of school, but immediately gets a job working as a welder for a guy with a company. He knows how to weld, and this guy takes him under his wing, and so he becomes a welder. So, I mean, at 17, this guy's, an 8-10-hour-a-day welder in Texarkana. I mean, this is a...
Out there and build some gates, my friend.
Jesus Christ. So this day, it's a Friday afternoon, January 11th, 1980, so woo-hoo, weekend, baby. Oh,
here we go.
Shit now.
Everybody's working. That's on the radio. Every Friday.
I figure on the way home every fucking week, because we'll talk about where he goes. I could just picture him listening to somebody at work is like, they're kind of cool with music, you know? It's not just the REO Speedwagon that the other guys are listening to. He hooked him up with some Dire Straits. So he's just listening to Sultan's a Swing as he fucking drives. We'll talk about where he's going, and it makes sense here. That's all I could imagine in my head while I was doing this, figuring this shit out. So he gets off work at about 3 or 3:30 p.m., which means he was at work early.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got him there.
6 a.m., 7 a.m.
6:30, he came through the door. Man, imagine that. That is
It's so hard to do.
It's hot.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, luckily it's winter. It's not very hot. But either way.
Well, he's arc welding. It's hot.
It's hot under there. Yeah, you got all that shit on you, too.
Yeah.
So he gets home. Shortly after that, his mother gets home from work. So everybody's ready for the weekend here. Everybody's not working for the weekend.
Right.
He leaves at this point, though, because he's got some business to take care of. What do you think that business is, Jimmy?
Gonna go eat some weed.
No, he is actually going out to check on some animal traps that he's set nearby.
Really?
Yeah, it's a different type of environment here. Yeah, this is...
kind of animal trap?
He said, hold on a minute, go and check on dinner. And he went outside. That's what he did. Exactly what he did. Yeah. Traps.
Possum traps?
Possum, groundhog, as we found from another episode, is apparently a local delicacy in the Appalachian region. So, I mean, this isn't the Appalachian region, but it could have spread here. We don't know.
Do we know what traps he set or just animal traps?
He just set some animal traps. I figure a bunch of them. You know what I mean? Just he's got all sorts of different traps.
Got some cats, all kinds of
all sorts of shit. Yeah, I'm sure he's catching everything in there. Who knows? Yeah. Oh, we got another one of the neighbor's cats. God damn it. I told these fucking people keep the cats inside. I'm trying to catch me a groundhog for breakfast tomorrow. So he then said he leaves after that to go to Foreman, which is another little town right by here, which there's no fucking buddy there. another place. There he goes to wash his pickup truck. I guess they got a wash himself.
Get sturdy, babe. Yeah.
Self-wash place. Yeah. And he goes there and washes his truck, and then he returns home after that. Okay. So he's back home. He's ready to go. He said when he got home, or when he left, his mother was eating. So he said that's what he remembered. So when he gets home, he expects his mother to be, settling in. She had been...
Or asleep,
but she had been specifically eating fish sticks, he said he remembered. Oh. She was down in some fish sticks before he left, which made me... I love fish sticks. They're great.
Do you?
I love them. They're wonderful. Yeah, they're terrible and awesome. I just love them. Yeah, they're so fucking good. I could eat a million fish sticks. I could eat as many fish sticks as you put before me. They're like pizza rolls.
I can't do it.
Oh, they're great. I love them.
I can't do it.
Crispy.
Are they crispy?
If you make them crispy,
I suppose.
Yeah, don't make them. If people put them in the microwave, then that's a pile of garbage.
Fish is... No. That sounds so gross.
They're good in the oven if you do them right. You got to flip them at the right time and do all that. But if you make them
Are they beer battered?
Most of the time they're the breadcrumb batter, I'd rather have a beer batter, obviously, here.
Beer batter, I'll eat anything fried. I don't give a fuck what it is.
Like, you can get like the frozen pieces of fish that have the beer batter. There's probably a brand with a beer batter fish stick, I'm sure. Check Gorton's. I'm not sure. But
Something.
But either way, I love a fish stick. They're wonderful trash food, and I love them so much, I'll eat them forever. I don't care. They're so good.
It makes sense, but I just can't do it. About frozen fish scares the motherfuck out of me.
There's a lot of frozen fish. You don't eat frozen fish in Arizona. Then you don't eat fish in Arizona because all the fish you eat's frozen.
No, none of that shit's frozen.
What fresh fish are you getting in Arizona?
From the fucking meat counter, that's frozen. No,
Arizona.
It's all fresh. Never frozen.
Check on that specifically because
it's supposed to be fresh, never frozen.
Most of that shit's frozen though.
They say flown in daily. Fresh, never frozen. That's what they say.
I don't believe them in Arizona.
I don't believe you.
I feel like they're going to fly.
And it's 110
there
outside. There's no reason that I should question a frozen fish.
It's fine. No,
but
I question it
every time.
Better to not. It's not frozen, but it's also fine if it's frozen.
I should probably question thawed out fish in a state that's 112 fucking degrees.
Yeah, I'm not believing you. You flew it in and you never froze it. Well, how cold did you keep it? At least if it's frozen, I know it was cold. So, like, how cold are you keeping this on the way here? That's what I'm wondering. Yeah.
I like the mahi. I like that a lot.
Good shit. So, here we go. She's eating fish sticks. He said he didn't eat anything. He did say, though, that he mentioned that his mom was going to, later on, he'll say his mom was going to meet an old friend that evening, a guy from Shreveport. He doesn't know his whole name, but he thinks his name is Lane. He heard his mom say Lane.
Louisiana?
Yeah, in Shreveport. Yeah, it's not that far of a drive. He's down in the corner. Okay. He's right close to that border.
Louisiana borders Texas.
Right. It's all right there. So he said, though, he returned from washing his truck. He takes a shower. He changes his clothes.
Yeah.
All right, he's getting ready for the night out now. You know, yeah. He checked his traps. Now he's, which is funny because that's a great.
I'm going to get hillbilly gussied.
That's a pimp term. He was like, I'm just checking my traps, and then he's going to get gussied.
Checking my hoe traps.
Yeah, you know. So he's doing all of that. He gets all gussied up for the night. Yeah. He's going to step out to get to some boot scooting. And
setting a new trap.
Well, wait till you see what he's doing, too. He's borrowing Mom's Trans Am.
Yeah.
Because, I got to get in Mom's Trans Am if I'm going out for the night. The ladies don't want to get in my truck. They want to get in the Trans Am.
Even though it's clean, it's fine.
They love it. They love it. So and where is he headed for? Betty's Place.
I was gonna say it's named after somebody.
Betty's Place is where he's going.
It's Ted's or George's or whatever, but yeah.
It's in Oklahoma, Betty's Place. Oh. It's across the border, and it's a local establishment, as it's described in a court document, quote, a local establishment that sold beer and is frequented by young people. So those are two things
that
what it is it's the Dazed and Confused pool hall. Yep. That's what it is, where there's they sell beer, but there's also kids there drinking beer, and there's probably a band. That's why I got the Sultan's a Swing thing. He's going to rock
it
out.
This thing's stinky. Yeah.
Herschel doesn't care if he doesn't make the scene. That's the lyric. He's got a welding job. He's doing all right.
It's not bad.
He's doing it. So he's going there. He's going to Betty's to drink some beer and play some pool, and that's what he does. Yeah. Him and his buddy play some pool. He says he went to his friend's house a little, later on, and he didn't return to the trailer until, 4 in the morning. He was out partying.
Wow. 17. Big night.
I mean, but he's living the life of a divorced 30-year-old man is what he's doing. He went to the pool hall after welding all day.
Yeah.
Checked his
single
animal
and
traps.
27.
Yeah, just doing fine, liking his life here. So he said, though, when he returned to the trailer, things weren't the way they should be. He said he walked in. He said the lights were on. The TV was on. Uh-huh. And he looked around. That was the first thing he noticed. Why is the TV on? Mom isn't up at this late hour. And then he notices something even worse than the TV being on. I mean, the electric bill's one thing, but there is blood everywhere.
Oh, no.
All over the place, just covering the walls and everything. And searched all around once he saw the blood. He's, Mom's not here. She's missing.
What?
Gone. So he said, holy shit. He ran down the road about a mile away. He got in his car when the Trans Am peeled out, dust clouds behind him.
Yeah.
He woke up. There's a relative of his that lives about a mile away. And went over to his house and said, Uncle Herb, come on, get in the Trans Am, let's go. He came out and
fishtail back to the house.
He came out in his boxer shorts and they fucking peeled out back there. They go back to the trailer and, this guy said, well, let's call the sheriff. I don't know why he came and got me. So he calls the sheriff and the relative does here. Deputy gets to the trailer at 4:09 a.m. Mm. He was just out cruising, and he just did a general poke around, disturb the crime scene, fuck up the forensic evidence, just a general, see like a murder weapon, pick it up with both hands, look at it, put it back down, things of that nature, just completely.
Taste some things.
Yeah, just contaminate, put his finger in the blood, put it up, it's blood, lick it, it's human blood. Yeah, we know that. It's everywhere. We figured it was blood.
We guessed,
We didn't figure a possum exploded in here, so it's probably blood.
It's not. She wasn't dipping those fish sticks in ketchup.
1980, rural Arkansas, the guy who's got the 4 o'clock in the morning shift just driving around. How well do you think his blood everywhere investigation skills are? Do you think he's the guy they hand it over to when there's a problem? Probably not.
You should probably give that position to the most trustworthy because he's going to need to do some shit at some point.
Well, his job is to go get the call, go over there, say there's blood all over your house. Yeah, this way. Open the door, look and go, holy shit, there's a lot of blood. And then go, we got to call people to come over and nobody go in this house. And then he puts a thing off. And that's his job. Secure this shit. Don't let anybody touch it.
Hire the guy that you want.
He went a poking around, is what it is. Just a poking.
Are you sure there's blood?
Just a picking and a poking. Yeah. Just, what's that? Blood, like I said, lick it, taste it. He leaves then, okay? This right. is the other thing. He doesn't call someone, then secure the crime scene and wait for them. That's procedure of a yeah. you find a possible violence that happened and could be a murder. We don't know. Missing person and blood everywhere. Seems like a good place to start an investigation is where all the blood is, so...
I'll get my notebook.
His job, from all I have gleaned from everything I've ever read, is his job would be that. Secure the crime scene, keep the relative and yeah. Glenn out of the fucking house,
yep,
out of the trailer, and secure it off, which is not hard with a trailer. It's a tin box.
Seems
There's
easy.
Not a lot of entrances,
yeah.
so
yeah.
you can do it. Instead, this guy leaves.
The cop leaves.
He goes, I'm going to go get some other officers. Y'all
this damn
just,
radio, I'm a bit out of range.
Try not to poke around where there's blood in there, you know what I mean? And leaves these two at this very obvious crime scene, okay?
Y'all stay here.
I'm going to go get me other officers. He comes back 4 fucking hours later, he comes back at 8 o'clock in the morning.
He had to take a nap.
That's how long it took him to round up people qualified for this, number one. Number two, he left 2 civilians at a fucking active crime scene alone for 4 hours, okay?
Guard this. I'll be back. They come in around 7.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Well, you can't get them up early. I mean, that's...
Then I got to make coffee for them and really brief them on this.
Well, the problem is, too, it's Saturday. They stay out pretty late on Fridays, so it's going to be a while. Let's just put it that way. It's going to be a while.
You may have seen them down at Betty's.
Mm-hmm. They probably bought y'all a couple rounds, I'd imagine, being y'all underage.
Real generous
and all.
Fellas.
So these officers come in, and this is ridiculous. Then they're going to sit down like, well, now we're in charge now. Yeah, okay.
Right. Okay.
They sit Glenn down, and they ask him about, you know, where were you the night before? What do you know about this whole situation? You came home, and there's blood. When was the last time you saw your mom? To try to get a timeline here. So, what do you know about your mom's activities? What do you know about her friends? Anybody that, you know, any enemies? The usual questions you ask the relative of a dead person. So they do a crime scene investigation in the trailer, and they said that, this is from the investigation, from the report, that it was obvious there had been a fierce struggle there because there's blood from wall to wall. Fierce struggle. They said blood was on the carpet, walls, doorsteps, and large chunks of hair were found in the trailer as well. Just clumps of hair everywhere. And 2 small pieces of what appeared to be human skull.
Oh, my God.
So this is... There's obviously been a problem here. This is not... You know, this wasn't, oh, God, I cut myself, and now I'm going to get stitches. There's skull on the ground. That's a problem.
Something fierce.
So they said, is anything missing? They asked Glenn, is anything missing? Was it a robbery, maybe? And he said the day before he gave his mother 2 $50 bills, which she put in her purse. Uh-huh. So he said, check for those if you can find those. And the purse was, it looked like the purse had been turned upside down and emptied, and there's no money in there. So he also said she had a 25 caliber pistol, which he couldn't find either. That's missing as well. So that's an issue. What they end up finding that, though, later on, luckily, it was just misplaced. They found it in the pocket of a jacket found, like, in the back of his pickup truck.
The gun?
The gun in the back of Glenn's pickup truck. So he's like, oh, shit, I must have taken it a while ago and forgot about it, put it in a jacket.
I am mistaken. My mom did not have that. I had it.
Yeah, he said he must have carried it with him when he went to check his traps one of the days. Yeah.
And dear God, what did you catch in those traps that you brought home?
That's what I mean. What are you doing with these traps?
What monster slaughtered your mother in here and took her money?
Son, is this animal revenge? We have a theory. Now, stick with me, because it's not a usual theory, but we think it's possible. Now, you could have killed several members of a particular wild animal's family. At that point, what happens is this thing that, well, not really scientists, but people that work for us call, quote, nature's revenge. Now, what they'll do is...
Have you heard of retribution, boy?
They'll team up. Could be up to 20, 30 possums, and they'll come over and they'll just rip your skull apart, and that might be what happened here. Have you been catching a particular amount of a particular species of animal?
They often follow the scent of fish sticks.
They like fish sticks. People use fish sticks as bait. You're going to catch them. So if you're making fish sticks, you want to really keep the windows closed because they'll come a-running. That's a problem. So.
Hey, everybody. Just going to take a quick break from the show to tell you a little bit about the safest sponsor that's ever been, Simply Safe.
Oh, SimplySafe.com. SimpliSafe.com.
Springtime's coming here. So you got the spring, you got fresh air, fresh starts, and you clean your house. That's all fresh. It's also the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe home security. Make sure your newly cleaned, nice house is secure. That's important.
Well protected, yeah.
It's the only security system that Jimmy and I will use, and we recommend it highly. We both have it on not only our studios, our houses, anything we have that needs protection. Simply Safe is the way to go. It's so easy to install that even we can do it. You guys will love it because you'll feel secure. You will not be small town murdered in your own home is what it is if you have Simply Safe because they're going to protect you. They're trusted by experts. It was named the best home security systems for 2024 by U.S. News and World Report. And Newsweek awarded Simply Safe the best customer service in home security. Simply Safe has given us and our many listeners real peace of mind, and I want you to have it too. We want you to feel good. Get 20% off any new Simply Safe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplysafe.com/small. That's SimpliSafe, SimpliSafe.com/small. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Now back to the show.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's what they got going on at this point. He said that his cowboy boots with metal toe tips. Of course he has cowboy boots with metal toe tips.
Yes,
he does. This kid, man, he's 17. He's welding, hanging out at Betty's till 3 o'clock in the morning, wearing metal toe-tip cowboy boots. He's 17 years old.
That's not a child. That's a man.
That's a 38-year-old man. Who now he's not even divorced. He never got married because ain't no woman hold me down. I'm a free bird. That's what he says. He's got free bird on the back fucking tailgate of his pickup truck like an air fucking a stenciled airbrush thing. Free bird.
James, it is airbrushed on the front of those boots. One boot free, one bird boot.
Bird. On the back of the boots, on the heels. Free bird.
So that's, that y'all can see.
You see me walking away. That's what it is. That way you can read it as I'm walking away from you. Free. Why are you leaving? Look at my. He just points down to his boots and keeps walking. Free bird, baby. He's a free bird. He can't help it. It's just a free bird.
That's a great knuckle tap.
Yeah, free bird. There's probably lots of people that have that.
You think they have it? I've never
America,
seen it.
Yes. In the United States of America, I would say, I'm going to say as many as 15 to 20,000 people have a free bird tattoo across
upwards of 4 to 8% of the country.
Of the population of Florida, at least the male population, has a free bird. Or they have it written like Tupac's Thug style across their stomach. One or the other.
Oh, my God. It's so popular.
I'm telling you. There's maybe more than 20,000 people. As soon as you said it, I was like, that's probably hugely popular.
Just Google it and Google image it. It's fucking everywhere.
Everywhere. I guarantee you, yeah. Probably over their eyes. Free bird. Well, over their eyes, everywhere. I'm telling you, man.
Free bird and songbird.
That's a whole culture. Free bird is a whole subculture.
Jeez. Oh, my God. Somebody did it with a Y. Yeah. Right. I can't look at it anymore. It's making my stomach sick.
He's a free bird, babe. That's like, how it like goes.
Frozen
I'm a free bird.
Fish.
Frozen fish.
Yuck.
Yeah, frozen fish is fine, though. It is. All I'm right. telling you. Fresh is better, but frozen is good. Anyway, he said that he wore those home from work that day, because that's what he wears to work, obviously.
Sure he does.
And that, but they were gone. They stole my boots.
They stole my metal tips?
How am I supposed to go boot scooting with no boots? So they stole his that and all the clothes that he wore. The clothes that he wore home from work that day were missing as well.
Yeah. When I go murder and I steal dirty laundry,
what
too.
The fuck? Yeah. Oh, people go, look at this. I got some boots and, a dirty pair of jeans with burn marks in them from sparks flying everywhere. Perfect. I can't wait to have these. And also some, like, night clothes, like pajamas.
Really?
They done stole my PJs. This is what the fuck is happening?
Those had a glow-in-the-dark Slimer on the chest.
Oh, man. They were the Spider-Man feeties. It looked just like Spider-Man. It was amazing.
You got to hold them up to the light and charge them up. But then when the lights go out, you see Spider-Man's face.
You see it. I had Spider-Man pajamas like that when I was like
glow-in-the-dark? Fuck,
five.
Yeah.
I don't think they were glow-in-the-darks. No, they were just the ones where they were like a Spider-Man uniform.
Yeah.
But then I got really excited and tore it off like Hulk Hogan because I thought that was cool. I didn't realize that I didn't have a whole other set of, but that's what I did because I thought that was cool too when I was five. So there you go.
Mixing fantasy.
While I was eating fish sticks, all this happened, I'm sure.
Probably.
Someone was stuffing fish sticks into my face saying, no, these are good. It's fine frozen. So he said, that's missing. His PJs are missing. His work clothes are missing.
Oh, no.
My boot scooting boots are missing. It's all missing. So who could it be that did this terrible thing? Where?
CEO of Goodwill trying to stock the shelves?
Who left Skull behind? You will donate to Goodwill or leave behind parts of your brain. Holy shit. So he said, that's when he said, well, I mean, I heard there's a guy named Lane. That I told you about. She said she's talking to him in Shreveport. Right. I mean, I don't know what's going on. So they found her telephone book, her little black book here of Nedra, and they found a man named Lane in there. And he had a Shreveport exchange. So they're like, there we go. Maybe it's this guy. Lane Barmore is he's Barmore. B-A-R-M-O-R-E. More bars. Perfect. Barmore. Yeah. He needs to go to the bar more, Lane. He wasn't a regular, like, they weren't steady. They weren't going steady. As a matter of fact, he was married, but they did date him in Nedra. But he was a married man also. So he was none too thrilled to be getting a call at home from the police saying, hey, going to ask you about your one of your girlfriends is missing. And he's got to pretend with his wife like it's someone from work. Like, tomorrow, three. I don't know if I can do a double. Jesus. Oh, man. I got a. Wow. I'm with my wife, who I love so much, and I want to spend more time with her tomorrow, so I don't think I'll be able to make it. So the officers there then get in the car and go right to Shreveport, and they do an investigation of Lane. Mm-hmm. And Lane here, they search his vehicle, number one, because they're saying, well, if he came here, if he came there, he must have got rid of her. If he killed her in the trailer, he must have taken her in a vehicle, probably.
And if she was bleeding in that trailer, she was bleeding in a car.
Absolutely. So they searched the car. The car's clean, but then they pop the trunk.
Uh-huh.
And there's blood in the trunk.
Oh, no.
And they're like, Lane?
You Laney married boy, son of a bitch cheating you on your wife? What is this blood?
What is this blood? But that tests out to be animal blood.
Of course it does.
They find there's a shitload of blood, too. They're like, high-fiving, done, case closed.
Case closed!
Arkansas and Louisiana cops are high-fiving each other. We did it, get them off the streets, and then they did testing.
Coffee time, boys!
And they were like, it's like a fucking deer blood or raccoon blood or some shit. He was checking his traps is all. That's I feel like in this area of the country, most people's trunks are full of blood. So just finding blood in their trunk is not a red flag at all. Like,
doesn't mean anything.
You got to check
means
it
they
for
were
human.
Making coats. Yeah.
Check all the blood. Make sure it's all animal. And they found out, too, that he actually had an alibi that checks out in the end.
Of course.
So while they're testing it, they find out kind of all at once that, oh, no. His alibi checks out, and that's not people blood back there. So,
also, sorry for blowing up your spot with your wife. Have a great day.
Never mind. And then they send him home, and he goes straight from the police station to a divorce lawyer just in case. Because he knows that he's in deep, 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 deep shit right now.
For a long time.
So Let me get this straight,
James. You go get some strange, and then you're questioned for murder.
In another state, mind you.
In another state!
Couldn't be farther, no connections, this is wonderful. I just know her because she wiped my mom's ass in a nursing home. And instead, here come multiple state police forces, and they want to swab your trunk out for human blood and check your alibis. And then your wife has to provide you an alibi so they don't think you killed your girlfriend who you're banging on the side. That's a bad day right there. That's a bad day for everyone involved.
And
for the wife, for the husband.
That is why you don't cheat on your spouse.
That shit like that. So, I mean, he didn't kill her. He has nothing to do with anything. And here he is. It could all come down.
All he did was get some strange with a consenting adult.
In another state. He crossed state lines to do this. That's the amazing part. And it still just tracked him there.
Still ruined his life.
Him and his wife are the two like victimized people so far in the story. Unless we find Nedra in a bad place, then obviously.
So far, he is the most shrapnel that's involved.
He's going, well, what the fuck happened here? Jesus Christ, man. Shit. He's got to tell his friend at work, so why you need to sleep on my couch for a few days? And he's like, it's such a long story, I can't even explain it to you.
And when I do, you're not going to believe it.
We're going to have a lot of beer over this, I'm telling you. Well, tell you what, while you're airbrushing that Freebird stencil on my pickup hood, we'll discuss it, because it's going to take about that long. So
they draw that knuckle tat stencil.
Come on now. Well, I'm going to get the tat. It'll match my truck. That's what you do. You match your truck, Jimmy. That's how things work.
That way people know it's mine.
Obviously. Now, they get about 2 weeks later. 2 weeks go by. Nothing. They just have nothing. They're like, well, one lane. I don't know.
2 weeks go by. All they have is a blood spattered trailer.
Some skull pieces and a big shrug of the shoulders. We have no idea what's going on. And
if Walt hadn't rolled around in there.
No. Until kind of the ultimate, I guess you could call it, unforced error occurs here. 2 weeks after the incident, the police receive a letter. The Ashdown Police Department receives a letter which was printed in large, like, capital letters. Like a child took a crayon and fucking held it in their hand.
Like a fist.
Like a knife that they're going to stab somebody with and just went, And it says this. And I'm gonna tell you about the misspellings and everything because it's fucking awesome. Okay. Quote, Nedra was a good person with an I, P-I-R, was a good person, but she had to die, for she did not want to marry me. So apparently, to marry me, by the way. She won't marry me. Okay. Yeah. Had to die because she won't marry me, apparently, is the translation out of Texarkana into the rest of English.
Yikes.
I loved her, but I had to do it. I half, H-A-I-F, half, to kill the boy, too, T-O. He will die, too. I know, N-O, where he is. I put Nedra under some treetops about 1,000 yards east of the old house place at Pinney. The boy is dead too. Means dead too.
Yeah.
That's the end. Oh, by the way, just wanted to remind you, in case you didn't remember from two lines ago, I'm going to kill that boy too.
You better protect him.
I'm going to kill the boy. Okay. Love Nedra. Didn't marry me. Had to kill her. Used to love her, but I had to kill her. Number one.
Yeah.
That's his other song that he sings.
Guns N' Roses fan.
Huge. Used to love her, but I had to kill her. Blah, blah, blah. Gonna kill the boy, obviously, as well. Here's where Nedra buried her out here. She's over by 1,000 yards east of the old house place. And just to close it out, in reminder, boy's dead, too. Y'all have a good night. That's the letter. That's the whole letter.
Wow.
Okay.
That is fascinating.
That's what they receive in the mail.
That's rambling. That's so incoherent.
No punctuation either, by the way.
Fuck yeah.
This is just one paragraph
That's a town review is what that is.
It absolutely is. That's
beautiful.
He went right from here to Yelp and did just littered it with every place he's ever eaten. I don't like this place very much. People were mean to me. Food was delicious, hot, and at a good price, but lady looked at me wrong. My kid peed on the floor, sure, but you could be nicer. 1 star.
ruined my anniversary.
It ruined Grandpa's funeral. Fuck you, Taco Bell. Now, the sheriff's office calls Glenn in.
Yeah.
And at this point, this is the first time that now they read his rights to him, because now they're going to ask him some questions that aren't where you know anything about your mom,
right,
and what she was up to. And they say, do us a favor, give us 10 samples of handwriting. So they make him do 10 handwriting samples, okay?
10 samples. Okay.
10 samples. And they had him write what the letter said. They had him write the same words. They didn't show him the letter.
Right.
But they read it to him. Write this down, okay?
Yeah.
So they give this to an expert, which I don't know where they found an expert around here in handwriting, but there's got to be somebody. There's a college nearby or something. So
whoever won the spelling bee this year.
Yeah. Who's that smart kid? Is in like, what is it, seventh, eighth grade right now? Who's he? I want him checked some.
Who's that kid that can spell elephant?
I always had trouble with that one. So I know how to spell Freebird, though. That I'll tell you what. That's my best eight-letter word right there.
Who's that kid that knows how to spell receipt?
Ooh, silent letters now.
That's a tricky
S's,
one.
C's that sound like S's and silent shit. That one's a I's before E's. It's got it all.
P's you don't close your lips for. It's
fuck's
crazy.
Sake. So they they give these to an expert, and an expert goes, oh, yeah, this guy wrote that letter, by the way. The expert said this handwriting absolutely matches that guy, this letter. So they go, Glenn, sit down for a minute. We got to talk to you, okay?
Yeah.
He said, what the fuck? This letter, we have an expert says this is your handwriting, so that would mean that you wrote this letter, which would mean that we think you may have killed your mom. So let's have a chit-chat about that, shall we? And, you know, what's going on? So 2 hours go by of this and him kind of hemming and hawing and saying, I don't know what you're talking about. And then he said, all right, I'm going to tell you something.
Oh.
I did write the letter. You're right.
Oh.
Okay. I did. He said, I had to write it when I was in Louisiana with relatives in the last week. Because mom, she's missing, so, you know, we were all gathering together. He said, what happened was a man stopped me on the road while I was driving in Louisiana, right? And he jumped on in my pickup truck, as people do as you're driving on the highway. Yeah. He jumped in and held a pistol on me.
Oh.
I was scared. I never seen this guy before, right? So he threatened to shoot me if I didn't do exactly what he said. I was like, well, I mean, shit, mister, you win. You know, I mean, what you got me to do?
I'm going to do what you say.
He said the man told him that he had his mother. I have her. Uh-huh. And unless you do exactly what you're told, I'm going to kill her. She's going to die.
Yeah.
So they said, well, Jesus, that sounds harrowing. What did this man look like? I mean, it must be burned in your brain till the end of time. He sat next to you in an enclosed pickup cab.
Right.
No more than fucking 14 inches from you. Held a gun on you, told you he was going to kill your mother. Like, how did that? And he said he could only give a general description.
Yeah.
White guy, brown hair, you know, one of those.
Around 5'10 to 6'4.
Yeah, he said it was very tired, too, very difficult to make out kind of what his face was like, because the whole time he was very upset and crying. So when people cry, their faces are contorted.
It was real blurry. It was through tears.
It was tough. So he said, all right, and he had to pull over, and the man had Glenn write down exactly what he was told. He said, write this down.
Yeah.
Okay, made him write it all down, put it in an envelope. And then he said, now you go mail that to the goddamn police.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm doing myself. You got to be in your handwriting, buddy.
I'll be at the post office.
So Glenn said that he decided after that not to tell anyone about it. Because that's what you would do when your mom's missing and someone makes you write a ransom letter about her to the police. You go, well, shit, I don't want to tell nobody about that. Christ.
Say a word.
Jesus, that could help the investigation. So that's what he did. So they said, come on. They said, Glenn, we think that you, come on, bro. Like, that's not a very believable story. And he said,
Glenn,
that's a bad one. I'm telling you, I was fucking cutting a rug, you know, with a girl named Linda Lou. I don't know what was going on. And then I came over here and here I am. I don't know, man. brain and skull.
Hell of a two-step cranking, and then this.
And then this, and I got to write letters. You know, I dropped out of school because I don't want to write. That's the whole point. And now you got me writing? This is ridiculous. So he's still denying, well, this is happening, since based on the letter, they search 1,000 yards east of the old house out there in Piney. Yeah, they're like, fuck it, let's do that. So eventually, this is on January 31st, so
2 weeks,
3 weeks, like 3 weeks total. Yeah. Uh-huh. They discover a shallow grave near the old Piney Cemetery.
Oh.
It's right by the cemetery. It was near an old near the old home place is what it's called, approximately 1.5 miles from their home, from Glenn and Nedra's home. The grave was covered with dead pine tree tops and located at the edge of a sage grass field. So,
actual treetops
near the cemetery, which psychologically makes a lot of sense that if you kill your mother, you don't dump your mother. Right. In a gutter.
You put her in a final resting place.
You put her near the cemetery, like as close as it, you know what I mean? Like, even if
you're
almost
there, this is the best I could do.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like, you're right, you're close. If they have a lot of bodies, they have to extend it eventually, that you'll be in the cemetery.
But for now, to put you in there, I'd have to do paperwork and make phone calls. So this is
I can't do that, obviously. Yeah. So I'm going to put you out here, you'll be fine. So that makes a lot of sense psychologically. That's why sometimes killers cover the things, because it's a guilt thing, and this would make sense if you killed your mother. So they think of that also, because you don't have to be a psychiatrist.
Yeah, I thought of it. So it's genius.
Yeah, one and two together. It's pretty easy here. So now the autopsy, what the hell happened to her? Yeah. They find that she's been killed by strangulation, numerous knife wounds as well.
Oh, God, dear.
And blows to her head.
Oh, no.
So they said it's really it's a potpourri, really, is what they said.
It's a real hodgepodge of different reasons to die.
The pieces of skull found in the trailer did come from her skull, because they matched the spots with the skull missing. Her voice box had been crushed in one of the blows.
Jesus.
And when she was strangled, and they said she was strangled by someone right-handed. This was manual strangulation. So
no rope.
No rope. Someone's right-handed. Her son is right-handed, which so is 90% of the population. Yeah. So that's not a lot. At one point, she'd been, this is from the autopsy, impaled on the trailer floor by a large knife.
Oh,
like she fell onto a large knife. The knife, which matched the wounds and the cut in the floor too, they found a cut in the floor, was about 12 feet from the body when they found it. So it was still there. They asked Murray about it here, the kid Glenn, and he identified it as an old antique knife that his former stepfather found while working on a pipeline.
Oh.
They were like, okay, terrific.
Take
well, what
home,
the fuck?
I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. She was found wrapped in bedclothes, wrapped in pajamas, by the way.
Yeah.
And tied with a belt to her robe as well. So she had a robe on, and then he wrapped her up in that and closed it with a belt, basically.
Yeah.
And then it was put in a grave near the cemetery. So this is very much like making a makeshift funeral.
Yeah.
It's very
packed. Yeah.
It's very fucking weird. They also found a shovel outside the trailer they lived. It was in a hole that was being dug to house a foundation for a CB radio antenna. As one does
those need, those
in 1980. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. After they found Nedra's body, one of the officers had the shovel examined, and in a splintered part of the handle was found a thread, which was proven to be consistent with the fabric of the belt to her robe.
Wow.
So, yeah, got snagged on
they
there
at
some point.
They dug that deep into that.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
No DNA, but that's pretty good. They also found blood specks in the cab of his truck that were determined to be human blood as well.
Okay.
No DNA, but they match up, you know, whatever general blood type. So
blood type,
other evidence here in the case is his, what he said. He told them that he told different officers different things. He told at least two of the officers that he left the trailer at 4:30 or 5 to wash his truck, and his mother had prepared some fish sticks before he left. He said his mother ate, but he didn't. So that's important, because later on he'll say that he didn't remember her eating. So it's a weird thing. Medical examiner does an autopsy, and the weather conditions, since the body's been there, were very cold. So she's in the ground, so she's very well preserved, actually. Mm-hmm. well-preserved enough that they're able to determine that she died within 30 minutes or an hour after she ate supper, where they found undigested fish in her stomach.
Uh-oh.
Fish sticks. And that way, and he was able to accurately just get a time of death that way. So in the first version he gave to police, if that was true, then he was at the trailer when she was killed, which would have been well before 8 p.m., which was about the time that he left the trailer that evening after trap checking, truck washing, showering, and all that. He was seen in town washing his truck by his friend Don Cleghorn. His friend said that he saw Glenn at the car wash between 6:30 and 7, or between 6:30 and 7:30.
That's early.
So he would have been, yeah, that's what I mean. Well, that's when he left to go to Betty's, was at 8. So 6:30 and 7:30, he would have had to wash the truck, come home, take a shower, get dressed, and head out by 8. So he said, this is what his friend said, he saw what appeared to be tufts of hair in the back of his truck, the back of the pickup truck, while he was washing it. Murray told him it was from a deer because he had killed a deer. That's what Glenn told his friend. Glenn said that he told his friend, yeah, he told him he killed a deer and he was washing out his pickup truck because he didn't want to get caught by the game and fish people because he didn't have a
tag.
So then later on he said he had not killed a deer that day, but he killed one several days before. So he switches that story up. And he said that he was at the car wash between 5:30 and 6.
That's an entirely different time.
Absolutely. Now, a relative of Murray, of Glenn here, who lives in the vicinity, another one, he said he saw Glenn as he drove by the trailer that night, this other guy's trailer, shortly between 6 p.m. and 6:20. So he was out on the road between 6 and 6:20 p.m. So he's out at that time. He saw Glenn pull out from behind the trailer in his pickup truck at that point and pull off. He said that Murray was going very slowly behind him for 75 to 100 yards. And he said this was weird because Glenn usually drives super fucking fast. And he was just hanging back.
I can't have you see what's inside this truck.
Yeah, so he just hung in the back there. This relative said he continued on down the road, and after he topped a hill, Glenn's vehicle didn't follow him. Uh-huh. And where they lived and the hill was the turnoff to the Piney Cemetery.
So, oh, shit.
Yeah, this is all, we're creating a timeline of him and where he goes. So now this guy's name is John Oglesby, the relative. He said the next day when he learned what happened and the investigation for a missing person, he said he went down the road toward the cemetery himself. He's going to do a little investigating. What is with these people investigating? Well, then again, the cops leave a crime scene open for 4 hours. Maybe you should do the investigating. He said he drove into a sage grass field near the cemetery and saw that tracks had been left by a vehicle, which he got down like a detective and looked at the tire marks and said that they'd been left by a vehicle with large mud grip tires. And it appeared that a short gauge vehicle had made the circle in the dirt. So,
It's got a little wheelbase.
Exactly. So Glenn happens to have a four-wheel drive Chevy Love pickup truck, the LUV, the little one.
The tiny, tiny wheelbase.
Yep, which had extra large mud grip tires on it.
He lifted a Love?
Identical. This is very much, he lifted a Love, absolutely. They showed that his mother's body, Nedra's body, was found not too far from the tracks on the vehicle. The tracks in the vehicle were found not too far away from where the body was found as it made a turn into the field. So, June 1st, 1980, okay?
6 months.
6 months have gone by almost. Glenn is just hanging out. He's in the trailer alone. He calls the cops and says, somebody came in and shot me. That guy from the letter, he must have found me.
Had to be him, yeah.
He said he was shot at several times. He had a bullet hole in the webbing of his left hand, and he had a bullet wound in his shoulder as well.
Yeah.
They said they did a full investigation of it, and they came to the conclusion that they were self-inflicted wounds.
He shot himself.
Not good. So they go, you're under arrest, you fucking idiot. Yeah. They lock him up, $100,000 bond, so he's in there. He can't get out. He ends up going to trial. And at trial, he testifies, he denies that he told the officers that his mother had eaten early that evening when he came home.
Yeah.
He said she didn't eat until he left that evening, about 7:45 or 8, the second time. This is critical because the medical examiner said she died shortly after she ate, and he was already at Betty's by then. So how could he be the guy? That's his story. So, yeah, it's pretty fucking silly. His story is it's tough. It's all circumstantial. There's no DNA back then, so it's all circumstantial, but...
Yeah, but when the story you give lines up with the timeline of the murder, and then you change it to make the timeline not fit up,
yeah.
Now it looks really... Now you look guilty as fuck, man.
But are they prosecuting him if it's not for that letter?
Maybe not.
They're just going to be suspicious of him, yeah. But they have no real... That's the hook where they said, you wrote this letter, and he went, okay, there's a guy. Now you got him telling a silly story rather than just maybe it was 6:30 and not 6, which is a more manageable mistake that people could make, whereas I wrote the letter. So this is the most unforced error ever. He was just like bored probably or paranoid or whatever it was.
I don't know.
So the prosecution's case here, they don't have any motive either for this at all. That's the other thing. What's the fucking motive?
Yeah, you're living a great life. You're 17. You got mom's Trans Am. You got a great job. And is she charging you rent?
Other than he didn't want her there, rather than getting his own place, he's like, I'll just take this one and kill mom.
What a crazy thought.
He could have just got his own place. There's no eyewitnesses, obviously. He never confessed to the murder. Uh-huh. So that's a tough one there.
Sure.
He said that when he was questioned about her, the man named Lane, she refused to tell him. He kept saying that she refused to tell me anything about Lane, so he's trying to blame Lane at the trial there. He also admitted that she had hit him before. She'd struck him, but he said he never struck her, and he said that she curses at him all the time, but he's never cursed at her. He's always very respectful of his mother, he says. God damn it.
Okay. Well, you're 17.
Yeah, you should be. That's what I mean. Right. He's like, I'm Ark Weldon, damn it. I'll tell her, shut up, bitch, and give her the back of my hand, Freebird style. You know what I'm saying? Hop in her Trans Am, go on down to Betty's, do some boot scooting, and find me a little piece of sugar. You know what I'm saying? A little cute.
A little songbird.
A little songbird. So he said that basically he's been the head of the household in recent years. He's been taking on responsibility of doing things that his mother couldn't do, and he said that, you know, it's tragic, but, you know, I didn't do it. So that's all there is to it. So it goes to the jury, and they have to decide, who else could it possibly be?
Right.
Did he kill his mom? And they find him guilty of murdering his mom because he clearly killed his mother. There's really no...
Because he said he wrote the letter.
That's the thing. Without the letter, I'm going, oh, this is thin to convict somebody. With the letter, I'm 1,000% good. You wouldn't say... All right, I wrote the letter, but here's what happened. Like, that's the biggest load of shit.
Yeah.
If he went to the cops.
Nobody held a gun to you while you cried.
That's, no, while they cried, not him. Yeah. He said the guy with the
guy
gun
was crying?
Not him. Yeah. He was fine. He was steady hand writing this letter. He said the guy with the gun was like, you got to write this letter. Like tears streaming down his face. Which makes it even more ridiculous.
Yeah.
So it goes to the jury it goes to sentencing here, let's see here. You, sir, you young man, may fuck off life in prison without parole.
Oh, they got him good.
Yeah, so he appeals saying, first of all, I wasn't Mirandized till 2 weeks into this. They must have suspected me, and the cops said, you weren't a suspect. The response is that he wasn't a suspect. They never questioned him in a suspect way. All they questioned him about was his mother's movements, who she knows.
Yeah.
He was questioned as a helpful part of the investigation. Right. It wasn't until the letter that he was a suspect. And once they cleared the Lane Barmore guy, then he became a suspect. Then they Mirandized him, and the court agrees on that one. And the other thing is, can you give a 17-year-old life without parole?
I guess.
The Supreme Court says sometimes is basically what they say here about this. They have a whole thing about it. They say the imposition, he argues that the Supreme Court decision bars the imposition of life without parole sentences on juvenile offenders. So he says it's a direct violation of that. But that law is only applicable in Arkansas when a mandatory life sentence is imposed without the sentencers being able to take into account how children are different and how blah, blah, blah. So if Arkansas had a mandatory life without, that would be a challenge. But because the judge had a choice and chose to put him in jail for life without, that's doesn't fall under this ruling. Okay. So you're perfectly fine. Keep on fucking off, they tell him. And I believe he's still in prison. He's 60 years old now. And he's 60 years old. He would never get out. His appeals failed. That was that. He never had another chance to do it. Yeah, I would say. So there you go. Throw it away. Ashdown, Arkansas. He had a life going. He could have just moved out, had some fun. I don't know what the hell he was thinking.
Shit.
What did his mom do? Burn the fish sticks? Like, what is going on? Is this a cookie issue like a couple weeks ago?
He burned his whole life down.
Ash down, baby. To the ground.
17.
17. Fucked it all up. So if you like that, tell the world about it. Get on whatever app you're listening on. Give us 5 stars. It helps the show out a lot. Also, make sure to follow us on social media, at Murder Small on Twitter, at Small Town Pod on Facebook, at Small Town Murder on Instagram. Head over to shutupandgivememurder.com. Get your tickets to live shows. Yes! Oh, my goodness. The Halloween Spectacular, October the 27th. It'll be available for a week after that as well. Get your tickets right now, shutupandgivememurder.com or moment.co/smalltownmurder. Get them there as well. Also go to Tampa Improv, September the 23rd, 2 shows. Next night, Orlando Improv on the 24th of September, 2 shows as well there. Also, patreon.com/crimeandsports, $5 or above. You get it all this week. 2 episodes, Sex Scandals Part 3. We're going to close it out. Duke Fuck List, Weird Poetry in Court, you name it. We're doing it. And then for Small Town Murders, we're going to find out, when does serial killing cross over into being in the mafia? And what a lucky coincidence if you happen to be a serial killer and you get a... you get hooked up in that line of work.
Serendipity.
Perfect there. So we're going to talk about all that. Patreon.com/crimeandsports. And you'll get a shout out at the end of the main show. Of course, if you want to follow us on social media personally, very easy to do that. Head over to shutupandgivememurder.com. There's links there. Or just Google Small Town Murder Podcast Hosts. We're the only ones. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Until next week, it's been our pleasure.
Bye.
Hey Prime members, you can listen to Small Town Murder early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.